Welcome to Fritz and Friends. I'm Cheryl Fritz, coming to you on 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Joining me on the phone now, Senator John Prose, a Republican senator out of St. Joseph, Michigan. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Good evening, Cheryl. How are you?
Very good. I wanted to get a hold of you with the current state of gas prices and volatility in the markets across the world. I thought a resolution you had recently introduced was very timely and wanted to talk to you about that in asking the government to okay a U.S.-Canada pipeline. Give me a little bit of the background and what's behind the resolution.
You bet. What's behind the resolution is something that you and I see every day and all the listeners out there see and feel every day, too, which is a pinch in our pocketbooks when you see our gas prices fluctuate so wildly and continue to increase, quite frankly, to that $4 plus range, $4.19. Is an awful lot to spend for a gallon of gas, and particularly as we enter the summer months when our kids are getting out of school and we're looking towards those great summer vacations, of which Michigan is so uniquely poised to benefit from folks all over the Midwest coming to enjoy our great natural resources. It seems to me that focusing some attention on resources for energy production, and in this case for gasoline use in the state, really ought to be a macro discussion. In other words, what is the federal government doing to help us increase our domestic supply, our North American supply, as opposed to relying upon unstable governments that supply oil to the United States? And boy, I tell you, it seems like every day for the last 3 or 4 months, there's been one more unstable government than the next that supply oil to us, and they're not exactly friendly countries to the United States. Fortunately, Canada, with some of the new exploration, has been deemed the second largest supply in the ground of oil in the entire world. And Canada is seeking to build a pipeline into the United States. I'm afraid if they don't do that, Cheryl, that domestic supply that is North American supply that we can tap into is instead going to go to one of the coasts, most likely to Vancouver, and it's going to be put on a ship and sent to China, quite frankly. I would much rather see us keep that domestic supply right here in North America.
What have been the roadblocks in the past from keeping this from going forward, or have there been none? We just haven't gotten to this point yet.
Well, part of it is that many of these oil sands, as what they're called, require some hydraulic fracturing, is what it's called, which is to break up the particular pockets of oil. And there are some environmental groups who are very concerned about the actual processes themselves. But what's most important about it is that if you put the proper regulatory structure around it, there should be no concern for us tapping into that significant source of domestic oil. Pipe some of that down our way, build new refining capacity in the United States, benefit from the literally thousands and thousands of jobs that would be created not only in new refining capacity but in the construction of the pipeline itself. And unfortunately, the Obama administration, specifically Secretary Clinton, our Secretary of State, of course, is not approving that particular pipeline, which it's important for us in our effort to increase that domestic supply and decrease our dependence upon foreign oil.
Well, so in moving forward with this resolution in the Senate, you're trying to move forward and get the message to Washington through this resolution that we need to do something about this and do something now.
No, absolutely. The more that we delay on our own domestic supply, and the more that we delay in providing that bridge to the all of the above sorts of solutions for energy production in the United States, all of the above meaning we should continue to find more efficient ways for solar and wind and hydro and all of the other things that would help us to secure our own domestic energy production. Part of that is this bridge to those new technologies as we continue to have great smart minds in Michigan come up with new ways to get even more power out of a wind turbine, let's say. But in the meantime, we just don't have the efficiency or the cost-benefit ratio that is available already for the domestic supplies that exist. Let's pump that down here, create the jobs, and get about the business of having that bridge to the new technologies.
When we talk about the timeline, you just spoke about, sir, in the immediate, we need to get some oil pumping here while we're still continue to work on technologies that will lessen our need on oil. What would be the timeline? Let's say this resolution goes through right away and we can move forward with this pipeline. What is the timeline we're looking at?
Well, the timeline would take many years to complete the process of building it out. There's no question that it would take quite some time. And it takes a great deal of time for us to look prospectively in the construction of new facilities. For example, if it were to be a new nuclear plant, it is a minimum of 10 years before you even have the project sited and complete in terms of the planning processes and the amount of regulatory oversight that the Nuclear Regulatory Commission provides. So certainly there's going to be an awful lot, a long time of preparation for it. But you know what? The line doesn't get shorter if you don't get in the line in the first place. And as I look to things right now, the folks who would like to build it, the TransCanada Keystone Coast Expansion Pipeline Project, the very long name, has had an application pending since 2008, and the presidential permit just hasn't been executed with our Department of State, in this case, Secretary Clinton. The sooner the better.
What is her opposition? From what you understand, what is her opposition to this project?
What I've understood is that it's almost exclusively an environmental opposition, and in particular because the oil sands themselves require that fracturing, the colloquial term, or at least the term that's used locally, is fracking, and that requires a mix of particular chemicals and high pressure, really almost explosive forces used underground to break up the shale itself and thereby release then the oils for us to be able to pump them up to the surface and then send them to a refining capacity for us. And while all of this is done with very tight and strict controls, the environmental community is very, very concerned about that. I think there needs to be a balance, for sure, to ensure that we have a good balance between our domestic production needs while also addressing some of those environmental needs. But the environmental needs can't be dismissed or allow for this entire project to be dismissed without us looking to a way to allow for that domestic supply to be achieved. And as you well know, since last year's disaster in the Gulf of Mexico, with that particular oil blowout, we've all seen all production in the Gulf of Mexico come to a virtual standstill. So we continue to see a reduction in our own domestic supplies and our own domestic pumping, and instead we find ourselves importing more and more oil on an annual basis. That really isn't a recipe for safety and security, and really it is of national interest to us. And safety and security for the homeland is a part of this process, too. We can balance all these things out, but Secretary Clinton and the Obama administration holding fire on this is only making it more difficult for us to bridge that gap to those new technologies.
And you're confident that this can be done, can be looked at, and safety measures can be put in place so that we can move forward with a comprehensive plan. And you talk about long- and short-term energy policies that
absolutely,
are needed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. For us to take a short-term energy view, I think, is quite short-sighted, to be honest. And, you know, Canada, who already has the second largest oil reserve anyway, relies almost exclusively on this oil shale already for their own domestic production. You know, and while this resolution doesn't call for us to seek more natural gas, the reality is that we in the United States have huge deposits of natural gas. And that's, yet again, another factor in us using the all-of-the-above strategy to our own domestic use.
Well, and of course, you mentioned in some information that was put out that, as you alluded to earlier, about half of the oil that we consume is from unstable governments, which we're supporting with our dollars. We need to bring them to a friendly neighbor.
Absolutely. If we bring it to a friendly neighbor, I can't think of anybody more friendly than our own neighbors to the north. Although during hockey season, I'm not always a fan of them, and the Canucks are on the verge of a Stanley Cup here.
No, that's timely. I was watching that last night.
Absolutely. I would say, though, it should be the Wings. There's no question in my mind. Not their year this year. But truly, it's a matter of common sense in my mind, and I think we need to provide whatever support we can to the House Energy and Commerce Committee Chairman Fred Upton and others to make sure that they are fighting hard for us to increase our own North American and domestic supplies.
And what can folks do, folks like me, make sure we call legislators and get the message?
Absolutely. I think anybody in the Michigan delegation ought to know of your listeners' interests in increasing that domestic supply. You know, unstable governments, whether it be Syria or Saudi Arabia, you can go on and on with what has been really a constant barrage of information out of the Middle East of uncertainty and unstable activities, to say nothing of regime change and so forth. It has been an incredible spring in the Middle East, and we are so dependent upon that Middle East oil. Why not use what we have right here in our own backyard with one of our very friendliest trade partners in Canada?
Very good. And where is Senate Resolution 57 now? It's been referred to Senate Energy and Technology Committee, and then it moves from there?
That's exactly right. And okay. As vice chair of that committee, I'm twisting my chairman's arm very hard to see if he can't bring that resolution up so we can draw some additional attention to support what I think is common sense for Michigan and for all of the United States, which is utilizing what already exists today in North America amongst a friendly government neighbor. We ought to work together with them to try to increase that supply and continue the all-of-the-above efforts in increasing our own capacity for energy.
Very good. Well, next year is the year for the wings, sir.
I can't wait. The hope springs eternal.
It sure does. It sure does. I thank you for your time and your perspective on the issue this evening. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Senator John Prose, a Republican of St. Joseph. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends on 1320 WILS after this.